We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Well, he was confirmed on a 57-42 vote. All the Republicans present voted to confirm Pompeo. Here's a man they had is, they completely confirmed a CIA director. There was no reason, I don't think, why he shouldn't have been Secretary of State, right? But as we reported on in previous days, North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin finally stepped up to the plate, huh? And Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly are some of the ones that, and they're in tight, part of the reason, I mean, they're in very tight re-election contests themselves. I think that may be one of the reasons, potentially. Clinton, I want to ask you right up front here. With these guys, Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, proven Mike Pompeo, they were in that 57. They're in very tight elections in areas that were won overwhelmingly from President Trump. Do you think that factored in them voting for Pompeo?
I think a lot of people right now, particularly in the legislature, are taking a pause, behind everything that they do at the moment, just trying to read. If you know obviously about polling data, these guys live it, a lot of them, and so they're waking up every morning and seeing which way the wind blows, unfortunately. And I think their convictions to things are directly related to poll data more than anything.
Isn't that well said? The way the wind blows, Jim, you know? you got to appreciate Clinton's honesty right in the first thing he says, huh?
Yes.
I mean...
Yes, definitely.
Right?
Senators that are up for re-election in districts where, in states where Trump won by overwhelming margins, actually wind up switching parties before the primaries. That would be a very, very unique tactic for them to stay in office.
Interesting. We haven't seen a lot of the switching of parties, but I guess that could happen. I think, if anything, they're going to jump to the Republican Party, don't you think, Clinton?
Personally, no.
Yeah, I figured that was the answer. Yeah. Well, come on, your party isn't doing so well here at the moment, are they, Clinton? Really?
The reality of it, I think the party for the Democratic Party right now is largely listless. I think we haven't, due to, quite frankly, some of the old guard staying around too long, haven't really had what I believe is a really true, clear Democratic voice. You have a lot of other people who are out there who are potential candidates, but they're being hushed by the powers that be still within the Democratic Party.
So you're not fans of Pelosi and Schumer, are you? No, you don't think they're doing a swell job?
not a big fan of them. I mean, quite frankly,
yeah,
I think, you know, I talk to a lot of my friends, of course, who are Trump supporters, and I actually try to tell them a lot of times that the commonality that we see, I prefer to look at our commonalities versus our differences. And the reality is that in the commonalities that we have, both many people who are Democrat and many people who are Republican or identify as these have gotten tired of who represents them in both bodies.
You know, when I grew up, Clinton, I want to be just like you because, man, you got that nailed down, don't you? For real, that's a compliment, buddy. So that's a compliment. I appreciate what you say there because that's what I try to do myself is look at our commonalities, what connects us as a people, and not what divides us all the time. That's the problem. That's where the hatred and the vitriol comes from. They lead the conversation with what divides us. There's a secret recipe here, people, to all of this, and it's, you know, you unite with people by talking about the commonality of things, and then you find common ground in the middle for the other things. Very, very interesting.
Well, here's the deal. Mike Pompeo is Secretary of State. He was sworn in already by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito here already in the West Conference Room. And so that's the way it is. He is now. And this was the president's choice, obviously. Clinton, what kind of a Secretary of State do you think Pompeo, seriously, as a kind of a nonpartisan kind of guy, how do you think he'll do as Secretary of State?
I think to the more liberal nation states that are out there, I don't think that this was their ideal choice to interact with. Mm-hmm. But I do think in difficult times where a lot of people, I mean, obviously, the last time you and I spoke, people elected Trump as a canoe rocker. Mm-hmm. And obviously with Pompeo here sitting now at his right hand, so to speak, mm-hmm. you've got somebody obviously as well who's definitely got, from an educational standpoint, the chops to go do this. Mm-hmm. But he's also kind of universally recognized too as quite abrasive, and how that plays on the international front right now, it will remain to be seen. But he couldn't be more polar opposite from our our previous secretary.
Yeah. All right. So listen, Jim McKay, did you see the other big significant story today, this afternoon, was Bill Cosby, guilty as charged.
Yes, very quick trial and verdict. Mm-hmm. This was actually, the retrial?
It was,
which
yeah.
didn't last, couldn't have lasted very long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But unanimous decision, right off, no real long debate on it. And the only thing that I think that is unfair is he paid this woman $3 million to keep her mouth shut. Mm-hmm. But goes to show, justice sometimes trumps money.
Yeah.
And which I'm glad to see it in this case, because he was just totally abusive to women during this entire career and hid it from everybody.
Yeah. It's a major story. This is a story, Clinton, I followed for a lot of years on radio, reported on it many, many times, the history of Bill Cosby and what has happened here, how he's made a career out of rape and sexually abusing and drugging women and so on and so forth. This is really the first big major casualty of the Me Too movement. This is the first one. Obviously, we hope there are others to fall as well. What's your, right off the top here, Clinton, what's your overall view and opinion of this Bill Cosby guilty charge today?
I think it's welcomed. It welcomed and long overdue. And frankly, I hope it gives some bit of comfort to not just the woman, of course, that he abused in this circumstance, but many of the other women that, did not get their day in court, so to speak, at least have some form of relief in knowing that this man finally is behind bars.
Yeah, well, he's not quite yet, but you're right. I hear you, yeah. So it's 3 charges, 10 years apiece, 30 years at this point. Of course, there are a lot of other charges and cases that could be brought against him, but the man is 80 years old. There's hundreds of women that have been impacted by this monster people. This is not casual here. This ain't 2 or 3 or 5 or 10, 12, 15 women. There's a lot of women. I mean, he made a career out of it. Total career. While he was coming across as America's dad, he was doing some very inappropriate things on the backside of this. It's horrible situation. And how this was held so secretive all those years. And a lot of this didn't come out really till the Me Too movement really started to surface, as it has. That's where a lot of these big things have happened. But there's a lot more to talk about on this case. I do want to discuss with you throughout the show today. And he is still free now, pending his the official sentence. He's not locked up yet behind bars,
He's got 3 charges against him, each carrying 10 years.
Yeah, 30 years as a total. That's correct. At this point, yeah, that's right. Now, we'll see what becomes of that with the actual sentence and what happens. But the Cosby lawyer came out and said the fight is not over. and plans to appeal. And then, of course, Gloria Allred was grabbing the cameras and the mics, which is pretty common of Gloria Allred. I'm not a big fan of her. But this is the one opportunity I would actually side with Gloria Allred. I never thought I'd say that, people. But in this particular case, I would say I agree with her in this case. But she was certainly out there in front of the cameras and mics, as you expect her to always be doing that. Also, the other big story today, friends, is Ronny Jackson withdraws the VA secretary nomination. Yeah. And I predicted this was my prediction. What was it, yesterday, Jim, or the day before I predicted this? Yeah,
day before.
Yeah,
yes,
I told you before. It was going to happen. I told you he was going to. I just knew it. You know the writing on the walls. What they do, Jim, is the vultures circle, you see. So what's happened, the vultures circled him. And the vultures are a lot of the media heads and the talking heads and the political far left, and they started circling Ronny Jackson. And that's what they do until they can really strangulate the whole process. And again, like you said, I think, Jim, you said it so well the other day somewhere. You said to me, well, you know, welcome the media. What happens is you give them a bone, they get on something, and they beat it to hell for like 24 to 48 hours. That's the only story you'll hear, because they do it incessantly, and they'll just go at it and at it and at it and at it, and then finally they get something, right? Isn't that the way it works, Jim?
That's what we talked about, and that's what's actually happened. There were these anonymous accusations, which never came to light, and what they were and who did what, but they just took, it's part of this obstructionist resist movement that the Democrats have been playing since the day Trump was elected. They've stonewalled almost hundreds and hundreds of nominations for basically a lot of minor
positions.
You know,
it's hard to imagine, Jim. Trump is such a cuddly, cuddly man. He's just so cuddly and so warm and affectionate with his words. I can't imagine why they're upset. He's so cuddly. Don't you think, Clinton?
Yeah, that's exactly, if I was going to choose a word to describe him, that would be exactly what I
said. I told you, people, I got it all nailed down here, I'm telling you here. Well, at least that's what Kanye West thinks. He says he loves him, loves the man, and boy, has he been making a splash. I've been wanting to talk about him those last couple of days, and we hadn't had the time, but we got to do it today, because, wow, Kanye West, he doubles down, and then he tells John Legend to go to hell, and a few other adjectives I can't repeat here. And things got real spicy, and they have been all day here on social media. I love these catfights when the men are doing them in the front of, you know, the country. It's kind of interesting. Also, the Senate panel agrees the bill to protect special counsel. Of course, it will go nowhere, but it makes them feel good, potentially. I have no idea. In any event, the whole story continues on, friends. Let's do some formal introductions here at the top of Nozzle here. It is so good to have here Clinton Mueller back with us, our Nozzle nerd today, and, of course, the great Jim McKay. I'm going to start here with Clinton. Please tell him your little bit of your background, your political affiliation, and all the fabulous things you've done. You have 15 seconds, bro. Go.
Born and raised, obviously, in the state of Florida. Spent the better part of the early years in politics, then got out of it and went into nonprofit work, and now serve as the chief operating officer of a consumer products company. How's that work?
You've done a lot of nonprofit work over the years. You've really been a passionate man with that, huh?
I think it's important to wake up every day and know that you're making a difference, not to be altruistic about it, but that's kind of what drives me.
Yeah, as I said, when I grow up, Jim, I want to be like Clinton. I think he's a good man. So now you, on the other hand, well, why don't you take your seconds and tell folks, Jim?
Okay. Yes, I was a profiteer of the Silicon Valley for a number of years, working for companies that say, we strive to change the world one person at a time, used to be the slogan there for a while. That little computer company that's grown up on the iPhone, and escaped out of there a few years back, moved to Florida. Now I'm a resident of the great land down here, and technology background in both the computer industry and the biotech industries. Now retired and raising a family again. So Excellent. Here I am.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Jim McKay and Clinton Mueller. And listen, there is a lot to talk about today. It's a lot of great, interesting stories. And we'll have more Nozzle for you in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
On television right now, they're doing the helicopter follow of the...
I've seen it.
What is this guy, you know, it's the OJ thing going to his house? What is it? This is nuts.
Well, that's exactly it, Jim. That's what I was wondering. Is it the OJ thing? You see them following him, right? Right? With the same thing. The same. Although this vehicle is black. OJ's was white, right?
It was white. Yeah, the white Bronco, wasn't it? Or something?
Yeah, it was the white Bronco. That was famous. He made the white Bronco famous, in fact, you know.
They're bringing it back, by the way. Let's not forget, they're bringing back the Bronco.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't know it ever went away. It did?
Yeah, it became the Ford Explorer, I guess.
I see. Well, so anyways, they are following that car with Bill Cosby. They're anxious to get... So let's dive right back into this Bill Cosby before we get into more of the politics side of things, guys. And so Bill is 80 years old now. So this is a much older man. Obviously, he's again made a career out of this. Now, Andrea Constand, she was the accuser who really had the guts here. This lady had real guts. And so as the verdict was being read, the courtroom, there were a lot of gasps and sounds and effects from the courtroom. And Cosby was looking down. He was sort of sulking, looking down a little bit. And the adjective I heard a lot of people use for Andrea Constant is that she remained stoic. Stoic is the adjective I heard several people use. But basically, so there are three counts of indecent aggravated assault. This was a courthouse up in Pennsylvania, by the way. And now you got to remember, the first trial on this ended in a mistrial after the jury failed to reach the verdict, which several were kind of suspect here that could indeed happen. This was not an easy task here, taking America's dad and putting him on trial. This was not, nobody got warm and fuzzy for this case. Nobody. Nobody wanted to see this case. I mean, this is a bad deal. This is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the human race, is what it is. I mean, nobody's proud of this. This stinks. This isn't political. This is just garbage. I mean, but how much more of this is going on out there? How much more of this Me Too stuff is there out there? And then you look at and isn't it ironic? You look at the entertainment circle in Hollywood, you know, and then you look at the political center up in Washington, D.C., and that's where a lot of these devious, mischievous criminal scumbags come from, not exclusive to these areas, but certainly a lot of them come from there. I got to tell you both, Clinton and Jim, I have, as I say, followed Cosby's case for a lot of years, and many networks had me on because of my passion about the case. It was sickening to me how this man got away with so much. So basically, there are hundreds of women on count that we know of that he has literally given drugs to and then raped them and physically abused them and took them into rooms and made his way with them. And then he tried to use his power of money to buy them off and pay them off, which is what they all do. What do you think drives a man to do this? I want to ask you, Jim, let me ask you first before Clinton answers this, but while everybody's listening here, let's just take a minute, step back. What drives a man to do this, Jim? Why would a man, now answer me, why would a man who has everything in the world he could possibly have, family, money, life, can buy and do what he wants, I mean, and supposedly... He came across as a well-balanced individual. Of course, it was his acting. He came across as a decent man, so we thought, but he was acting. So he spent a lifetime acting with us, both on and off the camera. We don't really know the real Bill Cosby. He was always acting, you see? So we really don't know who he was. But why would a man do this? Why would a man risk and sacrifice everything just for the game of it? Is it for the sport of it, to abuse women and rape them? Is that the idea, Jim?
It has to be some deep-seated psychological problem. Not, you know, not being a psychologist, but everybody who's looked at these cases, whether it's Cosby or Tiger Woods or different NFL quarterbacks and politicians, I mean, even our president has been a womanizer most of his life.
Right.
And you say, and these people are wealthy, they're rich, they have everything within their grasp. Clinton did it. They all have the same kind of psychosis, they say. What is it, inadequacies of their sexual performance? Do they have to keep proving themselves over and over that they're a man? Is it self-confidence? Is it trying to dominate everything they touch? It's just this egotistical personality of power. And if they have the power, they feel they can go out and do it and not answer for it to anybody. And I mean, you look at Bill Clinton, he had multiple liaisons with women where he forced himself upon them. He did really stupid things, both as governor and then as president, and he got away with it all. That's the ultimate situation they strive for, where they can laugh back at the public. See, I did it. I'm so strong. I got away with it. And people still love Clinton. They adore the guy.
Yeah, but Jim, you know, let me support Bill Clinton just a moment here. But let me say this much before we throw it to our buddy Clinton Mueller here, is this. If you were married to somebody like Hillary Clinton, you'd probably been out looking too, bro. I mean, come on.
Well, I love the Letterman thing that happened. He had Hillary on the show for one night. The next day, he had the quadruple or quintuple bypass.
Oh, yeah.
Months later, he had Bill Clinton on his first show when he was back. And he turns to Clinton and he said, I don't know how you can live with, and you've survived all these years. I was with her for 15 minutes, and the next day I had a multiple coronary bypass.
Oh, boy. What a hit that is.
It was just a beautiful bit of juxtaposition in comedy that that everybody laughed at, and they played it over and over.
Well, listen, I'm glad you qualified it by saying Bill, because when you first said it, when you were talking about him, you just said Clinton, and I was afraid people were going to think we're talking about our buddy here on the show today, Clinton Mueller. Said, no, he's not the guy we're talking about, people. This is
I was glad Jim clarified it the second
exactly, go around. Exactly. I had your back, my friend. I had your back. I was all over this one, I'm telling you. All right, so let's, in serious mode, I want to get Clinton now. This is something that actually is really serious and disgusting to me, and really I just don't even have the words for it, Clinton. I've been very outspoken about these perverts. They are total perverts and disgusting on every level, and I wonder, Clinton, what drives a man to do these kinds of things. As I say, somebody in the case of a Bill Cosby, who was acting throughout his entire life, the man was never not acting. We've never really seen the real Bill Cosby, anyways. We don't know the man. So he was acting on and off camera all the time. Why would somebody like that? He had power already. What more was he trying to accomplish, do you think, Clinton?
I think two things here are important. The first of which is from a motive standpoint for these sick individuals. I think when they are successful, when everyone looks at them, when the camera's on them, what turns them on or what really gets them going, as sadistic as this may sound, is probably hearing the word no. You look at Bill Cosby. You look at this guy Nassar with the gymnasts.
Right.
You look at Harvey Weinstein. You look at the stuff that went on, obviously, when Michael Jackson was alive. And honestly, you look at the monsters that these guys are, and the reason why they became the monster that they were to all of these women was because other people around them enabled them to become that.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes.
Wow. Well said, buddy. Yeah. And, you know, you bring up the gymnastic. You're totally right. That Nassar dude, boy, was he a real deviant son of a gun as well. I got to tell you what he did. Clinton was also despicable to those young girls. Wow. And he's been to Korea doing as well. And you're so right when you say that. They all looked the other way, Clinton. And they all, which really makes them part of the process and part of the problem. And you know, when you see that happen. But they did that with Harvey Weinstein as well. All the big names out there who talk. And, you know, here's the killer of that. You've got to admit, Clinton, they get on their high horse and they get out there for all these riots and things they want to talk about. And, you know, they stand on their soapboxes of righteousness and they're cleansed and they're clean smelling perfumes and hair. And they're so pure, beautiful and perfect. I can see them right now. They stand up there. And yet these people have done exactly that and more in Hollywood, and they've seen it all happen, and they've helped the others do it. They've helped them by, number one, they know it's all going on. They know what the couch is like in Hollywood. They know all of this that's happening, yet they say nothing. And well, it's, you know, it permeates the air out there. What do you think?
You know, I think the big thing is, you know, obviously, you know, the enablers are a massive problem. You know, these guys look at these celebrities, or these elected officials, or these, people in power, and they look at them as a golden goose. You know, and so, you know, these people who are around them, they don't want the party to stop. They don't want it to end. You know, and you know, they take this guy and they turn him in instead of covering it up. And you know what? They no longer get to rub elbows with the president of the United States. They no longer get to have a dinner with Warren Buffett. They no longer get to feel their own, their own self-worth through these other individuals. And the cover-up goes on and on and on and on and on. And it's, you know, and it's perpetuated on the other side. And here's where we have to get up every morning and look at ourselves in the mirror. It's perpetuated because, you know what? We stick these people up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You also have a media that helps perpetuate this. I mean, right now, Cosby is the target. Several months ago, for what, a 10-day period, Weinstein was the target. But that's gone away. They select one or two individuals. They basically put them out as a target. Mm-hmm. They crucify them. They do whatever they have to do. So the other 1,000 people in Hollywood can walk free. And so the media has put up the sacrificial lamb. Everything's good. There's no more starlets being raped in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. That's gone away. There's no more casting couches going on. You won't hear about anything maybe for a few years, and then something will happen. I have a daughter that works in Hollywood. She says nothing has changed. The culture is one of party and favors get up the ladder in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, it's so embedded in the culture. They don't know any different, Jim. It's just there. And it's expected. There are certain things that are expected. And that's really, as sad as it is, that's the way it is. Listen, there's so much to this story with the whole Me Too movement and everything that has taken place there. And when you say also, and I just want people to understand something. You know, we're going to have to work together here, friends, to make a difference, because we're going to have to work together within all of these stories and all the things we're discussing. Because when Jim says, well, the media has a place in this, they don't have a place in this, Jim. They are the reason and the cause of it. They don't just have a little play. They're not like a step. They're not
Clinton
a side said, argument.
They're one of the enablers.
They are chief. They're chief at the door. Yeah, it's sickening to me the way the media functions these days. I mean, it is absolutely sickening. And the more you see of it, the more you really understand how bad it is on all factors, every one of them. I can't think of any that come to my mind to say that they're not, you know, agenda driven and that, you know, they don't have it out for the best part of the story. They just have it out for what they believe is what their version of the truth is or what their agenda says it should be. Listen, before we get back to Pompeo, and I want to talk about another nomination in just a moment here, I want to touch on Ronny Jackson a moment, please, and the Veterans Affairs, the Veterans Administration, the VA. But first of all, Ronny Jackson, he has withdrawn his, his secretary nomination. And he's withdrawn after some pretty heavy, charges, accusations coming his way. Clinton, what did you make of some of this early on here, other than the fact, I mean, I... none of us really know a lot about the man. I mean, he's an admiral. So, you know, we know that. We understand, as a, you know, who he is. He was a, he worked for the last three presidents, Clinton. He worked for Democrats and Republicans. Yeah. He was the chief physician for, you know, Barack Obama and George Bush and this president as well, Donald Trump. So it's not like Trump and him had some special private little separate affair relationship, because that didn't exist, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, you look at the issues that were brought up. I mean, you know, let's start though with his resume. His resume obviously stacked up.
Stellar.
His resume absolutely did. So let's, anybody that was questioning his resume, take that out the door and just get rid of that to begin with.
Yeah.
But the pieces that they brought up, largely one was a hostile work environment. Well, you know, look at our current president. I don't think, you know, that's prohibited him from the biggest office in the land, number one. You know, but the other two were the ones that kind of stood out, but they seemed to, one of which was improperly dispensing meds. Now, on that end, sure, you know, if that was an issue, if that was a concern, then by all means, somebody needs to dig into that and get into that. Mm-hmm. The excessive drinking on the job, you know, when you're in the military, heck, when you're in pretty much any position of prominence, you know, it's, you know, drinking in general becomes, for many of them, a social action. So I think, again, unless he was walking around like Gary Busey, which he performed, I think the only thing that really needed some clarity on, frankly, was the charge about him improperly dispensing meds. And if you're going to have someone chairing the VA, I think he needed to answer to that. But I'll touch on one last thing, too. And, you know, anybody that gets nominated, anybody that runs for office, the only piece of advice that I could give anybody, knowing the media, is you go out there, and day one that you run, you take every skeleton you have in the closet and you throw it out there on day one, and you just let it out there in the sunlight, because you know what? A week later, it's now old news.
And they tended to make it seem the same way, that he was out there just handing out pills to people.
Well, but here's the thing, Jim. Even if that's the case, here's the thing I want everybody to consider. Why now? Now, answer that question, people. Think about this a moment before you answer anything. Why now? Why now? Here's a man that has served his country in the greatest way. His resume is absolutely stellar. I'm sure he does not walk on water. I don't think any of us do. We get that. But why now? Here's a man who served multiple administrations, both Democrats and Republicans, was good enough to be the chief physician for presidents, as I say, Bush, Obama, and Trump. And all of a sudden, he's not good enough anymore. Why now?
The reason is he's a Trump appointee.
It's the only reason.
It's the only reason.
Clinton, that's the problem, Clinton, right there, is the obstructionist that your party that you associate with has become. Can you speak to that for me?
Oh, sure. I can absolutely talk about what our, you know, now I will tell you again, and this goes back on the carousel, this is something that largely has become party warfare back and forth, because it began, in my opinion, obviously with the Barack Obama, getting elected and their frustration. And I believe that the pendulum has now swung mightily the opposite direction as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is being just a further perpetuate of tit for tat that I don't think is going to end anytime soon, unless we get people in there from an elected official standpoint who are not the Pelosi's or the Mitch McConnell's of the world.
I actually think it actually started back during the Bush administration, when we had a Democratic majority at times in the Senate and in the House, and it carried forward when you had a Democratic majority was lost under Obama. Harry Reid was a stopgate of everything that came out of the House of Representatives. He had, most of the times, 300 bills that had a lot of bipartisan backing that he never put to the Senate floor or to committee, even, because he was this resist, no, I'm not going to do anything the Republicans want. And this goes way back. It's been the norm now for about almost 20 years in the Congress and in the executive branch. So it's not something new that's just happened.
No, and
it's
Jim, Harvey Reid was a dipstick, Jim. There's no question. Yeah. But Mitch McConnell is also a dipstick, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mitch McConnell is a Republican in name only, and a very poor one at that.
Yeah, no, they're both. Yeah, I agree with you. They're both dipsticks. I think if you could take Pelosi, Schumer, and add McConnell to them, I'll trade them to another country without a player to be named later. How's that, Clinton?
You know, I would take you up on that deal as well.
There you go.
I'll buy the plane tickets.
Oh, well, look, we just solved some of the problems here, people. We've just bought. Now, this is a news bulletin. We've got to get a press release out this that my buddy Jim McKay has offered to buy the 3 plane tickets. Clinton Mueller supports the move and that part of his party and our party here. And we're going to ship the 3 of them to another country. I like this. I like this strategy, people. I like it.
So, I also made an offer the day after the election when all these Hollywood types came out and said they're leaving the country. I said, I will buy them first class tickets one way, as long as they
guarantee. Yeah, the one way. It's got to be one way. Yeah, I agree with you, Jim. It's got to be one way.
Guaranteed not to come back.
Guaranteed not to come back. Well, let me tell folks as well this Ronny Jackson. So he says, Ronny Jackson, again, the Admiral physician here, he says, while I will forever be grateful for the trust and confidence President Trump has placed in me by giving me this opportunity, he says that I am regretfully withdrawing my nomination. He says the allegations against me are completely false and fabricated. If they had any merit, he says, I would have not been selected, promoted, and entrusted to serve in such a sensitive and important role as physician to 3 presidents over the past 12 years. Wow. He said, I'm proud of my service to the country and will always be committed to the brave veterans who volunteered to defend our freedoms. And the president came out this morning in a crazy interview here on the phone with the Fox News people in the morning. It was very kind of a wild ride interview discussion they were having with him. He says it's a disgrace. He referred to Doc Ronny as an incredible man, a real leader. And he says these are all false accusations. They are trying to destroy a man. Now, you got to remember, people, I just want you to remember and just remember tonight later on that this is a man that both Democrats and Republicans entrusted. It was a man that they supported with the most sensitive information with the physicians of the president's health. He's a physician. So this is a man who didn't play partisan politics. In fact, we don't even know really what he is, Democrat, Republican, Independent, or Communist. We have no idea really what he is. I don't have a clue. He's worked for everybody. He's not a real political figure that is polarizing. That's not who he is. But he was the president liked enough that he was making VA head of VA. That's a big deal, Jim. He liked him enough that he was, you know, he gave him that. And yeah.
When you raise up to the level of a flag officer in any of the armed services, you become apolitical. You cannot be a political person.
It's a great point.
And function in that job.
It's a great point. Listen, let me just read a couple of fast tweets here that I want to throw at you here about the Veterans Affairs men trending on all social media all afternoon, friends. This is a big story again. So here we go here. Dina says, no surprise, Ronny Jackson withdraws as candidate to head the VA. The real question is, how much longer will he serve as the White House physician? And that I can see, you know. Barbara says, shame on the Democrats for obstructing the president's nominees. Every American should hope our president is successful for America. Ronny Jackson would have been an outstanding Veterans Affairs secretary. So sad. And Barbara Streisand comes out, and there's not much I agree with Barbara on, but this would be something I do agree with her tweet on this. She says, Republican or Democrat, our veterans who put their lives on the line to serve us all deserve better. And that's one statement I would agree with Barbara Streisand, by the way. Mike says, while Trump's VA nominee is a complete disaster, let's not forget the real scandal. The future of healthcare for our country's veterans is at risk now more than ever before in recent history. Privatization of the Department of Veterans Affairs is utterly unacceptable. And that's where I totally disagree with Mike, because I think privatization of the Department of Veterans Affairs is exactly what we need. And that is the next move I would do. I would get the government out of it, because they suck at running this thing. Clinton, what do you say about that?
You know, you and I are going to, believe it or not, agree on this. And I will, you know, knowing many people, my grandfather served in the Navy. Wow. I had a stepfather, of course, who was
my
actually
in
Marine
well.
Corps Recon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And long story short, you know, you can see the decline in the quality of care that, that our veterans are getting. And I think that, you know, people look at the mark of a country and how you treat mm-hmm. your veterans has got to be up at the top of the darn list.
That's
and
right.
folks, we're not doing it.
That's right.
You know, we're not doing it. And, you know, privatizing this thing now to make sure that there should be not one vet on a wait list anywhere in this country, period.
That's right. That's right. I totally agree with that. Yeah, well said.
And the fact that we have a system that's in place right now where mm-hmm. these vets are coming back who have served this country, which is a heck of a lot more than the people that are sitting behind a desk in Washington voting on their compensation have done. Mm-hmm. You know, you take a look at what is going on right now to these vets, and you bet they deserve better.
Yeah.
And privatizing this thing to help them get the resources they need now is absolutely part of the solution.
Yeah.
It can't be the whole solution, but it
right. Well, clearly they haven't done a good job with our trust, Clinton. They have not done a good job. And it's the same reason why that the government is incapable of doing a lot of things well these days. And it's why we need to look back at what kind of power we're given these cats we're putting up there and what they're doing with this power. And I don't know. The VA is a sad, sad reflection on so many things. And the president, I know, is so committed to our veterans. That's one thing you all have to say and agree with, that he's made that a big rallying cause through his whole campaign and through his presidency. He loves our veterans. He loves our veterans. He talks about bringing our warriors home all the time. He has a special place in his heart. It's one thing I do admire about this leader, is he stands up for our men and women, both in internationally and domestically. He supports our military. He supports our law enforcement. And my friends, there's nothing more important than exactly that. More Nozzle in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. In this Russia business or whatever. And Clinton, I think if I remember right, and I could be wrong, but just really refresh my memory, didn't you also say that on mic here last time that there was no collusion with Russia that you thought? Or did you? Or am I dreaming that?
So I do not believe that, in my opinion, that right. Donald Trump personally colluded. Right. Do I believe that there is a possibility that someone in his circle may have done it? I think that there's a possibility that that could have happened. Who it is, I don't know. But, you know, I think, you know, the special counsel, one of the big things that I believe that they need to do is if they're not going after him for collusion, if they're not going after him for any of the aforementioned reasons that he detailed, then they owe it to the American people to clearly communicate what it is they're going after him for.
It's a good point. It's a good point. And they're not doing that.
They want to find him for any mm-hmm. legal violation of corporate law or international law, lying to the FBI, lying to some, you know, clerk someplace. I don't know. They're just trying to find something to hang on him that will lead to an impeachment trial. It's not even the impeachment trial. They want to have something they can hang on him between now and the November elections to sway the vote. That is the entire goal.
Everything's political. And Clinton would agree with the political point of this, Jim. He totally gets the political, you know, games they all play, both left and right, you know? Right?
Of course. And if there was any collusion by anybody along the line, they've interviewed so many people. They've spent over a year on this. $100 million is, I think, what they're getting.
It's over that now. Yeah, it's over that now. And it's rising fast. It's getting more and more expensive. It's crazy.
And if there's anything of substance beyond lying to the FBI by Flynn and some minor violations by these other two guys, which they've pled off to and stuff, Or the 13 Russians.
All right.
And I think that's hysterical. The 13 Russians.
Let me ask Clinton this here. I'm curious, Jim. I want to get his opinion on something here now. And I appreciate what he just said. I always appreciate your honesty, buddy. And when you said, well, you know, no, I don't think he did that personally, absolutely. But could there be someone in the circle? Sure, it's possible. What's possible here? Was it possible that Hillary Clinton maybe was doing something? Do you think the DNC was doing something possibly with the Russians? I wonder. Do you think they were maybe doing something? Is that possible, Clinton? I wonder. Do you think so? Do you think there may be some possibility there?
I think the Democratic Party has its own, frankly, it has its own skeletons to answer to.
Where's the special counsel for that?
Okay. There should be one. There should be an investigation into why Debbie Wasserman Schultz was allowed to rig a primary election for her friend. That needs to be investigated. You know, absolutely. I will tell you there have been people that have looked in, though, into the foundation, the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
And thus far, nothing has shown up thus far. However, you take a look at some of the correspondence, regardless of where it came from and how it got there. You look at some of the correspondence that happened from WikiLeaks talking about her position and who she was allying herself to.
Right.
And you recognize that there absolutely was pay to play going on. In fact, her VP choice, Tim Kaine, Tim Kaine was viewed favorably by the banks over some of the other people that she was considering as VP, namely one of which was Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
And regardless of how you feel about her, I will tell you that was telling enough to me, because you had, of course, if you were a Bernie supporter, you know, why was Bernie not being chosen? Why was Warren not being chosen? Neither one was being chosen, and none of the other people that were out there.
Really, well, I have the answer to that. They didn't choose them because they didn't want a socialist man, and they didn't want an Indian.
Well, I think
they're racist.
I think I think this is much more than this behind closed doors. We can tongue in cheek this, but the reality of it is the reason why neither one of these was really given their due time and consideration was because of the fact that she was bought and sold by Wall Street.
Well, and the Clinton Foundation, and we don't have time to go down that road. By golly, we'd come back 4 days later, we'd still be talking here. But, you talk about money laundering and what they did with Russia and the money that was seized and the money that was paid. There's plenty of evidence there, my friend, of wrongdoing with the foundation and politics and people pay to play. By golly, there's so much that happened there. But the point is, there's no special counsel, there's no nothing. Then you have this Comey dude, or as we affectionately call him here, Homie. This guy here, and by the way, did you buy his book, Clinton?
No, I did not.
Oh, I love you even more. I love you more. Thank you.
I will tell you as well with Comey, Comey, I don't know how, has suddenly became the darling of the Democratic Party.
The nut jobs.
When quite frankly, 2 years ago, they were ready to grab
kill him.
A bunch
exactly.
of tickets and string
exactly.
them up.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And you look at this tour that he's going on, and I will tell you, he's walking around like he's something special, and he flubbed no matter which way he went because of his handling of that. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that media is giving this guy the time, and then you watch his interviews. And it truly comes across as petty at this point. As a Democrat, I will tell you, his interviews and his demeanor when he talks about the President of the United States, it comes across as petty.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's beyond that. It's even soap opera. It's all soap opera stuff. And it's going to be interesting, Clinton, to see what happens with James Comey, because now the political power are looking into all of these memos and all of this wrongdoings and what's secret or what's not secret, what's confidential, what is not or is confidential. There's a lot. I think he's taken a hell of a risk by coming out and bearing all of his personal vendetta as he has done against the president. He threw memos out there of secret correspondence to try to. He says he takes pride in that he got the special counsel elected. He doesn't like Trump, clearly. He made clear that his wife and daughters and everybody else voted for Hillary. And don't you think he's taken it? I mean, why? Why would a man at this point of his life, his career and the money, why wouldn't he just go away into the sunset, take a canoe and swim somewhere to an island with his wife and kids and shut the hell up? But why would he risk all this, Clinton? Any idea?
I think because he was not content with walking away with his legacy the way that it was.
I see.
And he,
which he
and
created, he, by the way.
He absolutely, his handling of, yeah, of the situation, was atrocious.
For both Democrats Republicans, by the way.
No one knew where he stood. I think what made it even more aggravating was people hung on his every word, and he loved it during that election.
Absolutely. In fact, it was hard to get two words out of him when that was happening. Now you can't shut him up. You know, it's sad, and I'll tell you both now, he will go down as one of the worst political figures coming from our society, from our system, ever. I mean, this FBI director, there is no reputation to gather the crumbs up anymore for. It is beyond tarnished. It is obliterated. And he's got nobody to blame but for himself. He's done it to the entire establishment, and as you say, Clinton, he's been less than honorable with the American people. And friends, that's what matters most. That's what matters most. Not the ones who play Democrats and Republicans. We're over that here. We're over that business and that nonsense. We don't, you know, this whole partisan garbage. There's got to be some semblance of truth at some point. What are we really looking at here? And what's good for one should be good for the other. And, you know, we can say a lot of things about all of this, but I got to tell you, we're in a different environment now, and we've been in a different environment, but, you know, it's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But the current president, I mean, you got to say one thing. He's put his big boots on, Clinton, and he's working his ass off up there, trying to drain something, huh?
Well, I'm going to say one other thing here that's going to get, you know, that somebody at some point or another in my party is going to try to walk by and slap one of those scarlet letters on me here. I'll wait for that day when it comes. But you know, the other thing that's going on right now that I've utterly had enough of as well is the entire mess with the Stormy Daniels thing. Okay, and I will tell you why. Because from a Democratic standpoint, when this whole mess was going on with Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. we sat there and we very publicly said, "Who cares what he does behind closed doors? That's his business. We care about what his policies are doing to our country."
That's right.
And yet here we are today.
Yeah.
The shoe is now on the other foot.
Big time. Yeah.
And yet here we are, and we're saying, "Oh no, no, what happened?" And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Stormy Daniels in this situation, that even, you know, that story, whatever it may be, happened prior to him becoming president.
Well,
correct?
It did. Yes. And there's no innocence here with any of this. I think we can all agree that there's a lot of blame you can point to all around here, right? It's become a circus. I mean, it's a really, really circus.
Of course, My point about this is as they try to brush this underneath the carpet,
right,
you know, on one side,
right,
let's remember that at the end of the day, that the president who my party puts on a pedestal for a lot of different reasons was also the very same guy who was actually accused of doing stuff while president.
Exactly. And he's been accused of rape. I mean, that's not casual.
I think that's something that's very...
And he gave cigars a bad name in the future, or a good name, depending on how you look at it, I guess. So, hey, listen, to wrap that last story up on the Senate, by the way, Mitch McConnell, who, of course, is the famed Senate president, the debonair beauty that he is, wish a strong wind would come in and blow him. We're hoping Ryan takes him with him when he leaves office, by the way. And by the way, Clinton, just so you're aware, conservatives everywhere are just absolutely elated and thrilled that Paul Ryan is leaving office. There's so much that they're throwing a party for him, not for him, but because of him, when he leaves. And we're hoping he'll take McConnell with him. And not, you see, we're not all that proud here that we can't, say it like it is, right? You know, I mean,
Are you guys holding the no crying for Ryan gala? Is that what you guys are doing?
The no crying for Ryan, and take Mitch the bitch with him is what we hope here. So anyways, all right. So that's that, right, Jim? Yeah, we're on it.
That's good. That's good.
One last thing here to tell you about with that. So yeah, Mitch says he's not bringing it up on the floor. So whatever the Senate panel was for, I don't know, not much at all, but that's it. One other footnote I wanted to make here, folks, with you is that you remember the U.S. student Otto Warmbier, the young kid that North Korea beat the hell out of. You remember, killed him? You know what I'm speaking
released
of?
Him,
They released him dead, basically dead, just about dead, just with a pulse, and sent him home. And with all of that, as they do, well, his parents are now suing North Korea over the son's death, over this captivity and beating. Wow, that just came out here just a bit ago here, friends. They're suing him. Isn't the timing on that interesting with things coming off the way they are, you know, Jim, with...
Will that case be filed in North Korean courts?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know, buddy.
And how far will that go?
Yeah, I don't know. There's so much more here. But again, lead story again, Mike Pompeo is in, 5742. And one other thing I wanted to tell you, that the Senate also confirmed Richard Grenell. He is the ambassador to Germany, which he was nominated for that office in 1922. And it took, what, almost 80, 90, 100 years almost. To get him in there. Not too bad, Jim. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Not too bad, bud. And he was go ahead.
There was a little known fact that came out the other day that said at the rate they're doing the confirmation.
Exactly.
Using this 30-day rule on everyone they're examining.
What was it, 90 years or something? What was it? I forget the years.
The year 2030, most of Trump's people
would be done. Would be done. It's beyond obstruction. It's beyond obstruction. It's whatever you
ridiculous.
Want to call that. It is beyond anything we've ever seen in this country. But again, that's what's happened. They don't want the man to govern. They're trying to drive him out of office in any way they can, obviously. And that's one way they're trying to do it here, is to frustrate him to hell so he can't govern at all. You know, that's why they try to hook the Secretary of State, and they're going to try to hold up Gina Haskell for the CIA director here. And by the way, he was confirmed, Grenell, 5642, so a lot of opposing votes, because they're opposing everybody for any reason they can. Pretty sad, Clinton, don't you think, with all this obstruction, or what?
You know, so the ones that are out there that have issues, and there's let's call a spade here. There's been a couple. I mean, Pruitt heading the EPA is one of the big ones for me. But I will tell you, a lot of these other ones, absolutely. These guys are making it.
Well, Pruitt's a little more controversial, and certainly controversial for the left, but he's doing a lot of things that the conservatives like, obviously. But he is edgy and controversial. There's no doubt about it. But anyways, listen, real fast, we're running right out of time here. We needed, a lot more time for this program today. But Kanye West doubles down. And we got to talk more about this in the next day or two. But he, something I wanted to talk to you about, actually, too, Clinton, but we don't have the time. But isn't it ironic? He comes out and says he's got dragon energy with the president, says he loves the president, and is not backing down. And, of course, they're having fits. What do you make of that, real quickly, in 60 seconds here, my friend Clinton? What do you make of this Kanye West phenomenon?
I think it's the evolution of the black voter, actually. I think it's a great thing. You take a look at Chance the Rapper, who's another one as well.
That's right.
And there are people who are very, very well educated that are opening their eyes and saying, I'm not going to allow either myself, my people, to be taken advantage of any longer. We've had the Democratic rule for a long period of time, and people have taken us for granted.
Well said. They're going against the whole group think, huh? not working for them. Jim, we got to get to predictions right now. We're running out of time. But Jim, you had a quick comment about the Kanye West thing?
I totally agree with Clinton on that. It's a beautiful move by somebody who has a position of leadership within the community and coming out and say, I'm not going to go blindly down the road anymore because we've been abused forever as a people.
That's right. That's right.
And he's
saying,
let's take, when Trump came out and said, what do you got to lose? Remember that statement?
That's right, absolutely.
The media beat him to death on that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the same thing that Kanye
That's right, that's right. We got to wrap up here. And by the way, Kanye came out and said he's going to run for president in 2024. So put that on your pipe and smoke it, people. Yeah. So, all right, Clinton, best part of the program here. We got to get on to predictions. Give us something that'll make us sleep better tonight. Will you please?
Something that'll make you sleep better tonight. So let's go with, despite the self-protectionist claims, I think at the end of the day, cooler heads are going to prevail economically around the world. Because I believe that the dollars and cents, when all the chips are down between China and the Koreas and Europe and the U.S., you know, at some point or another, everyone's going to look at this thing again and say, let's all come to the table and get a deal done.
There you go. There you go. And I would second that one. Okay, Jim, we got to less 30 seconds here. Go quick. What's your prediction, brother?
One thing we'll predict, that NASA will be on tomorrow again at 6 p.m. Eastern, as we are every evening, bringing you a new viewpoint on the news every day.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And of course, join us for Viewpoint this Sunday, my friends, every Sunday here. The show is killing it here. So much going on there. And if you missed last week's episode with Dr. James Mitchell and In the Mind of a Terrorist, go back and listen to that when it's on the America Out Loud platform now, friends. Again, Clinton Mueller and Jim McKay. My friends, thank you again for joining us every day here. And again, my prediction is we will be back here tomorrow for a Friday show, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.